this Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast for Elite Pool Covers, saving you water today for tomorrow.
Kimber, you have a very legitimate question of an observation you made earlier this morning when you said to me, Matt, why did you have gardening gloves when you arrived in your vehicle this morning?
Did find it a bit unusual given you don't have a garden. Yes. And I don't think I've ever heard you talk about going to do gardening.
No, well, although you're right, they are gardening gloves. In this instance, they were used as driving gloves because I had a little run-in with my car. I'm in love with my This harks back. You remember recently or earlier this year, I had me run in with the trailer that I lost control of.
Yes.
Right? And I kind of bemoaned the universe going, why do you, when I'm trying to like man up, like I'm trying to do what I have to do, support my family, do the jobs that need doing.
Which you do a good job of. Well, you're doing it every day.
I try. But it always seems like when I do try to do things like that, something goes wrong to mock me, right? So I told you that I had some trouble with my gear knob.
Right? And I actually, can I just very quickly interrupt to say, Pete, you don't know the story of the time that Matt drove around for about 4 days going, my car's making a bit of a weird noise. Finally took it to the mechanic, only to discover there was a massive stick stuck underneath
it. A tree
it.
Under it, yeah.
No, I don't know the story, but having gotten to know you over the past 11 months, not surprising.
Oh, and yeah, again, right, not fair. So my gear, the knob of my gear stick is falling to pieces, and I'd been taping it up with electrical tape, and that was starting to melt because I've been the hottest day since Monday 29. Right? So I went to Repco to get a new, and then I got learned by a lovely young lady at Repco, because if I'd been left to my own devices, I would have bought the wrong thing. Anyway, got the piece, took it home, and then kind of looked at the gear stick and thought, what the hell do I do now?
All right. Didn't get instructions on how to install it.
Not really, no, because I thought it can't be that hard.
Mm.
So I had my father-in-law coming over for dinner, and so by the time he got there, I still hadn't been able to work it out. I got him in there. We're both leaning into my car, both getting frustrated. The material, which is sort of a faux leather cover of the gear stick, down we're cut into that, so now that's been torn. I still have. Oh, and we lost the new knob.
You only bought it yesterday.
I only bought it yesterday. My father-in-law and I were outside my front door, leaning into the car. We got back inside to have a little break because we couldn't work it out. And then I went, "Where's the knob?" And he's checking his pockets. I don't have it.
Oh,
and we can't find it. I mean, we can't find this thing that's the size of a tennis ball. We don't know where it is.
Oh, my God. I want you to go back to Repco and have the girl have this conversation with her again, just so she can try and school you in getting another one and maybe fitting it for you.
So I've got a knob that's sticky because, a gear stick knob that's sticky because of the melted insulation tape that I've been using to hold it together. And so this morning I needed to drive with gloves so that I didn't get that stickiness on my hand.
That's okay.
And that is the story of why Matt drove to work this morning with gardening gloves.
It's also the story of Matt's sticky knob, but that's for another day.
I know, you thought that news only happened in the Big Smoke. Well, let's cross to Michelle Anderson for news from the Nether Regions.
Hello and good morning to the darling of the region.
The darling.
It's so good to be here.
It's wonderful
to
have
you. Do you pass our love on to the regions? Do they know that we love them and give them a segment every week?
I say that. Do you get it? Do you guys even get it in that metro region, in the Big Smoke, where the Mix Gang are? They're just chit-chatting about you guys and wanting to be abreast of what's going on. And they go, stop it. Is that right? And I go, it is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. And so I bring you to this. Rangeway Primary, okay? They're in Geraldton.
Okay.
They've started a yarning circle this month.
Have they?
How good is that, hey? So what it is it's a yarning circle. It's a meeting place used in Aboriginal cultures to encourage conversations and resolve conflicts. So they've started their very own one.
Okay.
And they did a smoking ceremony and student performances, and staff and students could come around and use it, respect the space, the environment. What a great idea.
Now, that is lovely.
Isn't that fantastic? Yeah. Fantastic. So everyone can gather around. It teaches kids how to take turns speaking and when to listen And I say, bring it into the workplace.
Oh, Christ, no. That's not what we need, any of. No more yarning, please.
No more yarning. I know. I think it's a great idea. Now, all right, I'm moving on. This one's close to my heart. And I'm going to drag Metro into this, okay, because I've sampled Perth water and I haven't been everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say to you, Wyndham can lay claim to WA's best tasting tap water title after it took out the state competition this week just gone.
Okay.
So Wyndham, that's up near Kununurra.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I don't know what's going on. It's treated with coagulation, microfiltration, UV and chlorine disinfection.
Oh.
So whoever's dealing with it here in Perth, note that down.
Do we want chlorine disinfection?
Yeah.
I don't know, but whatever I tasted when I was here, oh, geez, it was tough.
Yeah.
They got fluoride in theirs?
I don't know.
They're meant to have fluoride?
We're
pumping that everywhere, mate.
Chlorine disinfection. Yeah, no, it looks all right. But, and here's the, I don't know what you look for in your water, guys. Mm-hmm. But,
not chlorine disinfection, that's for sure. I've never seen that on the back of a Fuji bottle.
Straight from the Coalface Mountains, yes. Colour, they look for colour. I like to see none of it in my water.
Yeah, see-through.
Clarity. That goes against colour, you know, as we've covered off on twice on there. Odour, I don't like to smell anything when I'm drinking my water. And then, and I hate this term, mouthfeel.
Mouthfeel?
Mouthfeel.
I get that it matters.
But do you know what I mean? Like, have you ever had hard water? And you're like, oh, that's gross.
I find Perth water quite hard.
Absolutely. Jot this down in your diaries because Wyndham have won WA's state competition this week. It will then go to the national prize in Tassie early 2022. And then the lofty heights of the annual Berkeley Spring International Water Tasting Competition held in the US.
Oh, some
how do they get the water
there
around? Because this is the thing. If you carry the water in the wrong plastic.
Absolutely.
It tastes rubbish.
I don't even know how that's. I don't even know how they're going to tackle that.
It'd have to be in glass.
Glass.
It's the best way to get water around.
If you're taking it to the United States,
glass.
And remember that old sale of the century where they'd have two guards when the money dropped down? It'd be like that, I dare say, for each of the water.
You know
samples.
The best way to transport water?
Yeah.
Clouds.
The hippies done it.
Wow. Wow.
Nice to catch up with you, Mish.
My pleasure always.
Good on you.
Good yarn.
What have you swallowed? I saw a Boston woman has posted a warning on TikTok. She says it's a warning. I say it's a grab for as many hits as she can get.
Okay.
Because she's accidentally swallowed her Apple AirPod, just the left one. She had her AirPod in one hand, her AirPod headphones, so just those little... I mean, they're not much, are they, if you don't know what one is? It's not got any cords on it.
Yeah, but like there's enough of an AirPod there.
There's enough of an AirPod.
Has it got a little tail
it
as
does.
Well?
It does. Yeah. Okay.
She had her AirPod in one hand and painkiller tablets, Nurofen or something, in the other hand, and then she downed the wrong one. So she just had a glass of water and she just swallowed it. Couple of $100 down the gullet, but she was over the top hysterical.
Ibuprofen 800 in one hand, AirPod my left ear, but in the other, and I went to go put it in here, and I like threw something back and took my water bottle, took a sip, and then realized it wasn't the ibuprofen, and I tried puking it up, and it won't come out, and I'm losing my mind.
Well, the price of Apple products is so high, I'm not surprised she's so upset.
I mean, yeah, like, we're not supposed to love it. It is a couple of $100, but, like, that reaction, too much.
You know what
else
we've learned about her?
What?
Right? She's not the sort of person who swallows two tablets at the same time.
Yes.
Otherwise, it could have been both AirPods.
That's so true.
Too much. I mean, I would be quite concerned if I'd eaten something that I wasn't supposed to
eat. Would you?
Yes.
I reckon it's just going to come out the other end. It's just going to come out. An iPod, an AirPod like that, that's not going to do.
An iPod?
That's not
imagine if she swallowed an iPod.
Well, I don't know. What's the stomach juice is going to do to it?
Well, I guess break it down. And if it doesn't break it down, you're just going to pass it. But it's not going to, like, cut you open or do anything.
Well,
I can't imagine that. You know what I mean?
An AirPod, it's just all rounded edges. It's nothing sharp.
Yeah, and I've seen your reaction to getting bitten by a mosquito. You're saying you wouldn't have a reaction like that to swallowing a plastic earpiece?
I don't know if I would.
Okay.
I feel like that's kind of what your body does. You put stuff in and it just goes out.
Well, I have a good feeling that she'll live and she'll be
fine. And the reason being is because my mum tells this story quite often, that when she was a kid, she swallowed a nail.
Oh.
As in, like, you hammer it into a wooden board nail, yeah. Right? Like, and a good, decent size one. But they took her to the doctor. She ended up passing the nail, and the doctor told them that the reason why is because what was happening was she was lying down on her back in the living room, and she was just playing with this nail, and she was flicking it over her face and then lost it her mouth, mm-hmm. Right? And because of the way that she was lying down, it was lucky, and the way that it fell, it passed clean through her.
Yeah,
took
right.
a day. But it did. It passed clean through it.
Wow.
And
yeah.
Even, like, scientists, like all those Lego dudes swallowed a bunch of Lego a couple of years ago just to see how long it would take to pass through.
Right.
So I think it's pretty standard.
Okay.
Like, and she went and had x-rays for some reason. I don't know why. She ended up passing it. It's just gone now.
Digestion is awesome.
But, you know, I worked in audiology for years, and the number of people who came in and said they'd swallowed their hearing aids, I found it unbelievable. At the time, I was like, how is this happening?
Mm.
How could this many people swallow their hearing aids? It's just a thing. People do this all the time. Louie in Herne Hill, what did you swallow?
Hey, how you going? When I was a kid, I swallowed a watch battery.
Oh, ooh. Yes.
Now, yeah, a battery's so, dangerous.
I don't know, maybe if it stays in here for a while, it could be, but...
I would have thought so, yeah.
Mm. You know? I thought batteries yeah. might be, yeah.
Mum took us to the doctor and whatever to get a, he took us to get an x-ray, and you could just, she's still got it like now, all these years later, and you can just see like the clear as day, the watch battery just sitting in there.
Hang on, I'm going to plug my phone into Louie. I'm going to charge it.
Emma in Byford, good morning. What'd you swallow? Oh, it was your daughter.
It was my daughter on Thursday, just gone.
Oh, no.
Swallowed a $2 coin. She came out to me and said, Mum, I just swallowed a coin. And I said, oh, like, did you put it in your mouth? And she goes, no, it bounced and dropped into my mouth.
Sure.
So we were like, do we call an ambulance? Do we take her to the hospital? So took her straight to emergency, rushed her straight through. And, yeah, it was in her stomach. And they said it would pass naturally. And, yeah, a few days later it did.
And is that their general advice, Emma? Do they say, I guess when it's a kid you want to be cautious, right? You want to go to the hospital. But do they say, look, it's just, this is going to pass. It's pretty standard.
Yeah, they said heaps of children do it, but best to go and get checked out because if it's stuck in their throat, it could block their airways.
Of course.
So, yeah.
Depends where it is as to what they do, but it was already in her stomach.
Okay, Emma's daughter, you are not a money box. Just
$2.
Letting you know. Melinda's in Beckenham, me old hood. G'day, Melinda.
Good morning, how are you?
Good, mate. What did you swallow?
I swallowed a rabbit.
What? Excuse me. What?
I went, I think I was just preschool age. I was watching a game of rugby league with my parents. And mind you, this is the early 70s, and one of the shorts got pulled down off one of the players, and you can see his bare bottom. And of course, that's not something that you see on TV.
No.
Back then, and I had this little Rabbitoh's brooch. It was just the head and the pin was missing. And it had like one, I remember it had one red eye, one green eye. And I, because I had it on my lip and the shock of seeing someone's bottom on TV, I swallowed it.
Oh my God.
One red eye, one green eye.
Oh.
And came out the other end with two brown eyes.
Oh, Peter. Did it come out that way, Melinda?
Yes. During my mother's weekly tennis match, I ran out to her to tell her on the court that the rabbit came out.
And haven't we moved on? Because God knows it's not a surprise to see a rugby league player's bare ass these days.
Yeah.
Ahoy there, mateys!
Mix 94.5's Masters Regatta.
Perfect weather for the regatta on Saturday.
Perfect
weather. 10 a.m. We will be broadcasting live, $5,000 up for grabs, 10 teams face off the regatta back, first time since 2004.
If you don't know what it is 10 teams that have made boats out of choc milk cartons,
mm-hmm.
Masters cartons, and there's certain rules. You're only allowed to use certain tape.
Yes.
And one small piece of wood.
And people get very imaginative and make all sorts of shapes with their cartons.
And you've got to try and get it, make it seaworthy, get it out on the water and win a race.
Now, let's be honest, all right? There's been a lack of faith in terms of whether or not, and it's coming back on me, and I get that because I'm driving this thing.
Right.
I get it. That the boat, the SS Salsiche, is not going to be ready in time.
Sure.
I get that.
Sure.
All right? But I just want to share with you, Maddie, what happened yesterday up on the rooftop here in the boat shed where the boat is being built. Okay. When I said to Kimber, she knocked on the door, come in, and I started rolling.
Come in.
Oh, I'm scared to look.
Come and have a look at progress.
Is that all stuck on?
Yes.
Ah. Oh.
Yes. Oh, careful.
Was that a bit aggressive?
A little bit aggressive. Now, mate, can I tell you?
Oh, you've actually done a fair bit.
Now, here's the deal. That there is almost 450 cartons.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying, mate. Have faith in me, KC.
Telling you, mate, it's going to happen.
Well, I mean, you know what? I am feeling more confident after I saw that.
Hmm.
And because yesterday after work, we were like, oh, we're all going to do the boat build. And I had a couple of things to do with producers' jeans and joggers. And then I said, oh, I better go upstairs because the boys are up there building a boat.
Mm.
And Pete said, yeah, definitely knock before you come in because I want to make sure I'm ready.
Yeah.
Who was up there building the boat, Pete?
Well, it was you and me.
Where was Matt? What happened to we're building? I was Matt's coming up here yesterday? Any minute now.
Oh, no. I thought I was very clear. I mean, my wife always talks about the way to, you know, keep a relationship healthy is via good communication.
Mm.
And I thought I made it very clear that I wasn't building no boat.
Oh, because we were waiting for you to arrive.
Oh, no. I'm sorry if you had that idea.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so it was our fault.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, in fairness to Maddie, he was with me there last Wednesday.
Yeah. What you saw was part of my handiwork.
When you weren't there.
I wasn't there last week. So you've had now an opportunity to build a boat with Matt and an opportunity to build a boat with me. Who would you like to build the boat with this week moving forward?
Well, if it's going to keep going like this, just by myself, to be honest with you. This back and forth.
I came up with some ideas yesterday, Maddie.
Oh, yes.
I've thrown in some design.
Great. Mm.
We got a fair bit done yesterday.
We did. And you know
to
what?
Seeing it on Saturday.
Right. You know what? I'm just going to say, like the Australia 2.
Yes.
With the winged keel.
Yes.
The new bit of technology.
Ah.
Kimber did come up with something yesterday that I think is going to cut the water like a knife.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
Really, new technology in the Masters Regatta. But anyway.
So, it's going to sail the seas. The SS Salsiche. I don't know if it's the catchiest name ever.
Well, it's regardless of what you think, it's sticking with it, all right? Okay. Because it's a throwback to my heritage as an Italian.
Okay. Yeah.
But also, I just love the idea of the three of us riding a sausage.
Yeah. And boat names matter.
Mm.
They do actually matter. Because I've been looking up a few just to see, like, Bacon in the Sun, maybe. Yachts All Folks.
Oh, I don't mind that.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
So more often than not.
Oh, that's clever.
As in M-O-O-R-E?
Oh.
Yeah, and then
You're a Good Boy.
Oh, Maddie.
Best of Boat Worlds.
Oh, that's good.
That's a twin hull, that one.
I think, throw it out there. Give us the best boat names you've heard.
Hey, Georgia. Jay, joggers.
Yes.
What was the one you popped up with yesterday?
My auntie's boat was Cirrhosis of the River.
Oh, that's brilliant. That is genius.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah, good morning, Bunch. How are we?
Yeah, good, mate. What's your boat name?
It's called Gramps because my dad died of cancer about 15 years ago.
Mm.
My little sister got hold of his boat. All the other kids are all spewing about that, but her other half, he's a sign writer, and he put Gramps on it, and it changed it from VB to Gramps. There. So,
did you say it was VB before that?
Yeah, it was VB, B-double-E, B-double-E.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it right. changed it. Yeah, it was, but... beautiful, mate. Absolutely beautiful.
Oh, beautiful. I love the way you talk about it, Phil. Like, you know, it's a genuine
She's
bloke
gorgeous.
Out there. Oh, beautiful, mate. I love me boat.
Yeah.
Hi, Michael.
Howdy.
What's the name of your boat, Michael?
It was the Reefer. It was my mate's dad's boat.
I think I want to be a sailor all of a sudden.
Yes, we're definitely known that for the northern suburbs here in Perth.
Yeah, right. Okay. Sounds like you're in that boat right now, Michael.
Yeah.
Just out there on the water, just rocking about.
Yeah, a bit rocky, mate, a bit rocky.
That was 8:20. Morning, kids.
Leaving that one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Good. Nah, we'll just move on after that, I reckon.
Definitely in the podcast. Pete,
Matt and Kimber. Boris Johnson, the British Prime Minister. Now, you guys know I love me a bit of politics, so I do keep an eye on what's happening with the leaders of the world. And yesterday, Boris Johnson got up in front of the CBI, which is the Confederation of British Industry.
Oh, what a fascinating group of people that must be.
It really is. It really is. And he unfortunately had one of those days standing in front of all of those really important people that will make a lot of big decisions and really need to know what he's got to say, where he delivered a speech and lost his way.
Basically, what he ended up saying were all of the nightmares that I have. Do you guys ever have work dreams where you go to present something and it goes horribly wrong?
Yeah.
That played out in real life beautifully for him.
And you knew the moment he'd lost his way because he made this sound.
Yes.
Right. So let's...
That's how I feel every time I take my clothes off.
Let's take a listen to how it began.
So with safer streets, with great local schools... with fantastic broadband. People will have the confidence to stay nearer the place they grew up. Yesterday I went, as we all must.
As we all must wear, Boris, as we all must wear.
To Peppa Pig World.
Oh. Right, okay, so so he has lost his way through this sheet and has thought to himself, oh, God, what am I going to do here? Quick, think. Yeah. Oh, went to Peppa Pig World yesterday.
This is relatable.
Right, absolutely relatable. These people are going to jump on all over this. And all of a sudden it became... stand-up comedy act.
I don't know if you've been to Peppa Pig World. Who's been to... Hands up anybody who's been to Peppa Pig World. Not enough. I was a bit hazy what I would find at Peppa Pig World, but I loved it. And Peppa Pig World is very much my kind of place.
In front of the Confederation of British Industry.
I mean, as Kimber was alluding to, there have been so many bad stand-up gigs that I've done where you do, as a last desperate effort... You know, because your material isn't working, you reach out and start asking questions of the audience, hoping that they will, something will trigger, you'll bounce off them. And that really is the last, you know, gasp of a desperate man.
Yeah. And this is what it sounds like.
I need your advice, guys. I don't know what to do. So I said to you, I took McGruff to the vet yesterday because he's busted his shoulder. It was his birthday yesterday, and maybe we were having a little too much fun playing, and somehow he's hurt his leg.
You took him to the vet on his birthday?
Yeah, rough, huh? What choice did I have? He hurt himself. One minute he was fine. He was so excited to see me when I came home. Next minute, limping.
Is it the shoulder joint or the leg?
It was the shoulder this time, okay. Up so in the joint.
Done a fifey, mate.
Up in the... Up in the joint. And so he took him in there and was like, look, what do I do? And they've gone, look, it's hard to tell because he's had a similar injury on his back legs a few months ago. It's because he likes jumping on stuff. I've got a dog that likes doing parkour and he's not designed to do parkour because he's not a cattle dog. He's a Pomeranian. And they're not designed to be jumping on couches and running around and doing all that stuff.
It'll look bloody cute, though. That little fluff ball just doing parkour or over the lounge
room.
Super
cute.
Well, actually, no one really knows what the Pomeranian was designed for, do they?
No, I don't know.
Just sort of slippers.
But he's definitely hurt himself, and it's very hard to tell. So the vet has gone, look, he's definitely done something to his shoulder, but we're going to just have to give him some anti-inflammatories and get him to rest, and if it's not better by the end of the week, we'll have to do x-rays.
Okay.
Right? So I've had a little word to him and just quietly said, mate, you need to calm down.
Okay.
And just have a few days of rest. Because the last time he hurt his leg doing a trick at the park, going for catching a ball, and he just pulled a stunt. It's his standard moves. And he hurt himself, and when the vet looked at it yesterday, she said he did permanent nerve damage that time. Because he didn't recover properly. And I did what I could. I blocked him off. I put him in the laundry. Do you know what I mean? There's only so much you can do. And so now I need him to stay still. And so he knows he's hurt himself. He's limping. He can't walk properly. But yesterday, I reckon four or five times, he came up to me during the day, had limped over very slowly, and then drop the ball at my feet because he wants to play ball. He wants me to throw the ball so he can go running. And I'm like, dude, it's so hard to explain to him, like, I need you to rest your leg.
Yes.
Like, what else can I do? Short of, like, swaddling him, I don't know how to keep him still.
Well, I would say it sounds like you need a complete physiotherapy program. And I'm
take
talking,
him down the pool,
I mean, if you're bringing that back to Nat Fyfe, Maddie, yeah. I'm talking, you know, like we need a group of surgeons. We need a group of physiotherapists. We need him rubbed down. We need ice baths after he's finished playing. And I think we should be able to have him back up and running and ready for preseason in the next couple of weeks.
Mm. Wow. Wow, as if I wasn't already giving him enough of my time and energy. Now I need to do that.
Or you could just put him outside and go, bad dog.
I'm not going to do that. Pete, Matt
and Kimber. To hear Pete, Matt and Kimber for longer, listen to another one of their podcasts. And to swim warmer for longer, get an Elite pool cover.